Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Love and Inspiration Live with you up until the hour 5 o'clock, and I am joined by my second guest here in beautiful St. Martin, Naomi Peer, who is the author of a very powerful book called My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse. And I'm so happy to have her connected here on the show. We've spoken with each other quite a few times leading up to this interview, and it's really fitting today to have this conversation. And just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, once again, please be advised that today's show contains graphic content which could be offensive to the listener, so I do ask you to act accordingly. Good afternoon to you, Naomi Peer, and welcome to Love and Inspiration. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, and thank you for the invitation.
Okay, a pleasure to have you on the show today. And let's go straight into talking to you about who is Naomi Peer. So give us a little bit of an idea who you are. Where were you born, and any sisters, brothers? And we'll go straight into this powerful story of yours.
Okay, my name is Naomi Peer, and I was born right here on the island of St. Martin. I grew up here. I completed primary school, my high school, and tertiary education at the University of St. Martin, where I received my degree in primary education. I'm currently a primary school teacher, been for the past 9 years. So in a nutshell, yeah, that's me dealing with children.
And brothers and sisters? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Brothers, yes, I do. I have 4 sisters. I'm the eldest, which makes it 5. And I have an older brother who I didn't grow up with, but yeah, he's currently living in the U.S.
I see. And thank you for sharing that, Naomi, just giving us an idea of who you are and a little bit about your family. And you said that you are an educator. What would you say is for you the rewarding aspect of doing what you do as an educator?
Okay, for me, the most rewarding aspect is seeing when a child moves from a level that they're currently at to a higher level.
And when you say that, you're talking about in terms of academics or self, it could be
yes,
any
other. Yes, it can be academics, it can be social, academic, social, behavioral. Just seeing that progress, it's a great feeling for me.
Fantastic.
It's an inspiration. It's very rewarding, yes.
So you are in the right process. You would say profession then?
I guess so.
Definitely. I really do appreciate you sharing that, because, wow, what you've got to share with us today is so very powerful. I'm looking at your book here, My Story. And just before we get into this, where can persons actually purchase your book? It's beautiful from what I'm seeing here, beautifully designed. Where can persons purchase your book called My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse?
For the locals who are listening, currently I have books in my possession. So if anyone is interested, they can send me a WhatsApp at 524-9181. Or any of your followers are listening, they can contact you and you can send me a message. For those who are listening internationally, you can go to Amazon.com, type in the title, My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse by Naomi Peer, and you will see it there.
Okay, appreciate that. And let's go straight into this book that you have here, because it's called My Story. And the thing that I like about your book is that you've got excerpts from renowned persons like Maya Angelou. You know, when you're going into your different chapters, I'm looking at the book here and I am seeing the chapters that you have, which are, let me just pull it up here, Stolen Innocence. Then you have My Mother, School Days. You have This Is Not Love, A Step to Change, 2019, The Year of Transformation. So let's have a little conversation, Naomi. Now, as I'm looking at the beginning of your book, you stated you never thought that you would actually write a book. What got you into really taking that step into writing a book, Naomi?
Okay, as I've written in the book, I honestly never dreamt about writing the book. I can't remember when that time was exactly, when I just felt an inspiration that something or a small voice that told me, you're going to write a book. I was like, me? No, write a book? You know, because for me, essays, writing essays in school, even at my online education, it was daunting. And it's something that I didn't enjoy doing. It wasn't my favorite subject in school. So I never saw myself being where I am today. But as I continued reading and praying, I've been praying a lot through my journey, reading inspirational books by other persons who went through the similar situation. Reading their words, it impacted me so much. And I think I received a lot of inspiration and motivation to write my story because of others who I never been in contact with.
Mm. And here is what you have, the end product, a powerful book called My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse. And so very important, especially because you said it, you're an author, you are an educator, you work with children, so you know exactly how precious childhood is. Because you stated here in your book, our experiences in childhood play a significant role in shaping our health and well-being throughout our lives. Sexual abuse and any form of abuse in childhood leaves scars that can last for a very long time. The trauma is real. Talk to us a little bit about that.
It is real, and everything that I've written is based on experience. So I believe I am, how you say, I can share this today. I can sit here and talk about it because it's part of me. So I know it is real. No one told me. So yeah, as I've written, the experiences in childhood does leave a lasting impact on you, not only mentally, but physically, emotionally, and in every area of your life, in your work life, relationship with your family, if you have a partner, relationship with your partner. So that's why I believe it's very important to find the courage. It may not be now, but find that courage to set yourself free from that bondage, because it will kill you. It will eat you out. It will.
You're saying some powerful words then, Naomi. You have to find that freedom out of that bondage, because it will eat you. It will kill you.
Yeah.
And that's
every area.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's why it's so important not to suffer in silence and to speak out. Without a doubt.
It is.
That's what you're saying, in other words, actually.
Yes. And sometimes it may be difficult for me. In my situation, it was difficult for me to reach out to others because of the fear that I had. The fear that someone probably wouldn't listen to me. They probably might say that I made it up. You know, the fear of rejection, the fear of people talking about your stories. All of that was bottled up inside for many years.
I can imagine.
And when I found that little strength that I thought I didn't have, it made a difference. It made a difference.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration with your host, Roy Cotton Jr. here. And my special guest is Naomi Peer. She's an educator here on beautiful St. Martin. And her book is entitled My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse. Naomi, please remind the listeners how they can get hold of your book, please. Thank you.
For those who are living on the island, St. Martin, you can contact me via WhatsApp at 524-9181. I have some books in my possession. Those internationally or even locals who are interested of purchasing it online, it's online on Amazon. Type in my story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse by Naomi Pear, and you will find it there.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's look at chapter one here, Stolen Innocence. Listen to this, Naomi, as much as the listeners right now tuned in. It was a bright Saturday morning when he barged into the house and sat on the couch as usual. My mother was in the kitchen while my younger sister and I were watching television. Okay, it's shower time, I thought to myself as I was being led to the bathroom. Daddies give their little girls showers all the time, don't they? So why hesitate? He comes over to see his children often, so this is okay. While in the bathroom, he turned the shower on and kept it running for a while, then turned it off, but I was not given a bath. He forced himself inside of me. What's going on? I was confused. At the tender age of 5 or 6, I had no comprehension of what was happening to me in the bathroom. I had no understanding of what sexual abuse was then. Is this right? Is it wrong? I didn't know. All I can remember is how my body felt through the unimaginable act. It was in a dark place. Naomi, wow. At 5 or 6 years old, you stated this was not comfortable. I wanted to leave. I remember my mother knocking on the door to see if everything was okay. He quickly turned on the shower and said, "Yes, we'll be out soon." Wow. Talking about this, and you state no investigation took place. I protected him. How could I let him go free? As a little girl, all I wanted was a father's love. Can you talk a little bit about this, Naomi? Chapter 1, Stolen Innocence.
Yeah, I think I've let out all my emotions right there in chapter 1. Every word that you just read. I was in a really dark place, and as I've stated, I had no idea. I didn't understand what was happening to me. So because I didn't understand, I didn't know how to react. I didn't know if I should tell. And I know at that age, children are seeking approval of their parents. And that's all I want. So for me, one part of my brain was telling me, this is how your father loves you. So this is how he shows his love. Another part of my brain was confused. So I was in mental conflict from that age of 5. I was experiencing a lot of internal conflict mentally, emotionally. I just didn't understand.
Wow. I can imagine. You know, and talking about that, thinking about the fact that, as it states, one afternoon, my sisters and I were outside playing at his home. My mom had to work. Since the two houses were not that close, my sister and I used to walk through the alley to go up the hill. My stepmother was also at work that day. I was 12 years old. My younger sisters were then 11, 10, 9, and 7. My stepmother didn't mind leaving us all home. And then here we go. We had an older cousin, his niece, living there at the time. She was in her early 30s. I overheard him that day trying to get into bed with her. So it even went to that stage. This is powerful, Naomi. The chapter where it also stated that he even tried with a cousin in her early 30s.
That's the scary part about it, because I feel like, well, people who commit such acts, if they've done it to one person, there's a high chance that others around it would experience similar situations.
Without a doubt, because it becomes a cycle, right? It becomes something that is, one wants to do this because it's self-satisfying and is not thinking about the innocence that's being taken away, I believe.
And it's just going to go on and on and on. That's why it's very important to inform people out there, even children at young age of 4. Some people say that you shouldn't bring across these topics to younger children, but that's not true. You can break it down on their level because they need to understand that their bodies are supposed to be protected. They need to know. So it's important to share this information with your children, your families, your friends, to everyone.
I can imagine, definitely. Why you're saying that, also for the fact that, you know, you're working with children, and it's so important to actually really talk to children on a level that is, you know, that they can understand. But also education is so very important when we are talking about, yeah, these unpleasant situations that take place in our households. You know, thinking about this, in your book, you know, there's a chapter that you have called My Sisters, Chapter 5. And I wanted to actually ask you, with this that you are talking about, did your sisters also go through such a ordeal with regards to what happened here?
Well, yes, maybe our experiences may be different, but probably mine was sexual, but emotionally, verbally, they've had their share as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Naomi Pierre here on Love and Inspiration, sharing about her book, My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse. And, you know, I'm just looking at what you've written. It takes a lot of courage, Naomi, to share this with the world.
It does.
Do you believe that thus far, with those persons who have bought your book, and maybe even self now with us speaking on air, that you are doing something important in persons' lives who have, for whatever reason, stayed in silence and suffered in silence?
I honestly must say I do, in all capital letters, because I just want to share something.
Yeah, sure.
Before writing my book, I didn't tell anyone, because I believe sometimes when you share certain goals with others, whether it's family members or friends, depending on the context of what it is, people might try to discourage you from going forward. And based on the situation, I knew I would have gotten a lot of backlash from writing my story. So I kept it to myself and one person who's very dear to me. I kept it between the both of us, and I did what I had to do. Even my sisters didn't know I was writing a book until it was complete. No one knew. And I think, you know, because of that, I was able to go through. I was focused. I had no distractions. No one, you know, telling me, don't do it. Don't write that. What if? I had none of that. So because of that, I was able to go through. And I must say, yes, I believe, and I do know that I've been and is still an inspiration to many out there, because I've received many feedback, positive. People who I've worked with for years, people I've known from my teenage years, some of those persons actually came out and shared their stories with me and told me how I've encouraged them to seek help, encouraged them to speak out. And I've been seeing those persons on a daily basis, and I had no idea they were dealing with whatever they told me.
Right.
So that, you know, that is, it's a great feeling. It's good to know that I can encourage somebody else.
Oh, definitely.
You know, because I remember times when I felt like I was the only one dealing with this. Nobody else understands, but that's not true. You know, that's a lie we tell ourselves. That's not true. And, you know, I just want everybody to know, whether it probably was not on my level, you probably didn't experience the same as I did, but even if verbal, emotional, whatever form of abuse you've experienced, you're not alone. You are not alone.
Oh, that's very important words to sharing with the listeners out there. I also want to just share something, because this is, again, to show how real it is. And this is from the chapter that you're talking about your sisters. And then we're going to move forward to where you shared about your story, your when you, I would say, fell in love here. So let's listen to what is stated here in a chapter from Sisters. So this here you have, here are the words of one of my sisters. My first experience of violence happened when I was very young. I remember my mom and her husband fighting. He was on top of her on the bed. I was not sure if he was choking her, so I jumped on top of him and started hitting him. He shrugged me off and I fell. I remember taking this old pillowcase filled with old jeans and hitting him on the head with it. He got off of her, but his anger was directed at me. And it goes on to state here that she stated here, I felt the worst pain I ever felt. My back was on fire and I started to scream. When I turned around, he was holding the leather belt, laughing. I was angry. I started to curse at him. And she stated, my childhood was spent on the edge and I was always afraid, filled with burning rage and trust issues. Wow. Trust issues, huh? When something happens like this, it really messes you up, Naomi.
Yes, it does. It does. And it takes some time to really get to that place where you can fully trust others and let them in. It takes time. It's not that easy, but it's possible, yes.
And as you're saying that, talking about one of your chapters where you had have stated, this is not love. Because I believe, as I'm seeing here, there was someone that found you interesting, and you started to have those trust issues because you started to ask yourself, a part of you felt wanted. Where to say, as much as I was afraid of love, I thought, this is how love started. I was tempted to call him and say yes, but another part of me kept hovering over my first sexual experiences as a child. Although he didn't mention sex, my thoughts ran ahead of me. I thought to myself, if I get with this guy, eventually I might get attached. Attachment might lead to other things. What if sex comes up? I'm scared. I don't want to talk about or have sex with any guy. It's to show how this has a powerful effect on relationships, Naomi. So even if there's someone right. Who's interested innocently, who wants to share their love with you, it has an impact on the relationship.
Yeah, it does. As I've said, every area of your life will be negatively impacted if these issues are not dealt with in a healthy manner, right?
I have a question coming in from two questions, actually, from one of the listeners, okay. Naomi. And the question to you, the first one is, what would be your word of advice to parents? And the second one is, what would you say to a child or someone else being abused currently?
Okay, I'll take one at a time.
Sure.
My advice to parents is to be a parent, you know, play your role, do your part as a parent, which means you have to talk to your children daily. You know, people say that a parent is not your child's friend, but you have to be able to build that foundation, that solid foundation, that relationship. I'm going to use the word relationship with your child, because I never had a relationship with my mother, but after all, I do respect her, and I'm grateful for everything that she did. As I've mentioned in my book, you know, she tried to get away from him, you know, all of that. But even up to today, at my age, I cannot sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation with my mother, because that foundation wasn't there before. So it's really difficult now, you know? So that's my advice to parents, you know? Talk to your children and listen to them. Just listen to them.
Very powerful advice. And the second question, Naomi, is what would you say to a child or someone else being abused currently, Naomi?
What would I say to the child?
Yeah, so the question is to you from the listener, what would you say to a child or someone else being abused currently?
What would I say to a child? I'm thinking of in what context the question is posed. But I would, just like an adult, I would offer words of encouragement, but on a child's level, and I believe that the child would need some form of therapy. So all the communication would probably come from that aspect, because it would any random person can go and say anything to a child. The child is gonna, might watch you like, you know, who are you, you know? But the child would need some therapy, love, and affection.
I definitely could follow you on that one. And what would you say then to someone being abused currently? Because definitely that's not something that anyone wants to go through.
Right. What would I say to them during their abuse, or someone who's overcome abuse?
Well, it might be even self. It could be self that they're currently, you know, being currently abused. What would you say to him or her? Because it happens to both male and female.
To that person, I would say your abuse does not define who you are, and your abuse does not dictate your future. Because I had to say that to myself, and now I'm seeing it, I'm living it, I believe it. Mm. Although in the moment, that person probably might not see it, but they have to go through. They have to go through the healing process to fully understand.
Right, but right.
Those are the words I would say.
Right. And how, another listener sent a message in, how can a person, you know, get help who's listening right now? So someone might be going through this and really trying to find a way out. What would you say, how can they get help for a person who's listening right now?
I believe that help is different for everybody. You know, for some persons, help might be 3 to 6 months or a lifetime of therapy. For others, just a listening ear might be help for you. For some, it's writing, you know? And I would say find support groups, because that's something I did as well. I went on Facebook and I found some support groups where I was able to freely share. And sometimes it's easier for you to share. It might, you know, it might sound a little funny, but it's easier for you to share when you don't know the person. Some people, it's true, yes. So I would say find your support group.
Very important advice, Naromi. And I would like to...
Support person.
Okay. Definitely so very important. As we are continuing this conversation, Naromi, please remind persons how they can purchase your book called My Story. That will be really great for those who might just have, plugged into the interview.
Okay, for those locally living here on St. Martin, you can contact me via WhatsApp, 524-9181. I do have some books in my possession. And if you're interested for an online purchase, anyone listening internationally, you can go to Amazon, where you type in My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse by Naromi Pierre, and you will find it.
I appreciate that. And there's a very important chapter in your book, which is called Moving Forward. Life after sexual abuse or any abuse is a journey of recovery. And you stated here, one of the important things that you made a very important decision is the moment I decided to let go, I received full control of my life, my mind, and what I responded to. And moreover, that brought you peace. And the thing that you actually pointed to in that chapter is forgiveness. Talk to us a little bit about that, because could you imagine having a father who not only once but many times put himself on you and even sisters, and then here you're talking about moving forward. Talk to us about what was that like for you when you made that decision that you're here today talking to us on air.
Okay, for me, when I decided to forgive and let go, I didn't do it for anyone, but I did it for myself. Many people have this misunderstanding that when you forgive, you have to communicate with the person. You can forgive and still keep a person at a distance. And many people also believe that when you forgive, you're giving the person an opportunity to, commit the same act against you again. You know, that is not true. Wherever that came from, that is not true. Unless you experience forgiveness for yourself, you would never have that inner peace that you are longing for. And I'm experiencing a peace that I never thought I would be able to experience. For example, I can pass my dad on the road right now and I won't feel, anxious or scared as I did, because he no longer has control over over my feelings. That's the most important thing about forgiveness, you know, and letting go, releasing all of that bondage. That person no longer has control over you. That's what it is, basically.
Wow. Naomi, this has been a powerful conversation with you, and I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners of Moving Forward, a very powerful book that you have written. And I'm thankful that God gave you the courage to write what you've written, because as you said in the beginning, you know, you were not really thinking about writing, and you had those challenges on writing. And then here today, you have a beautiful covered book here with a butterfly on it. Here I see, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Amazing colors. Transformation. Beautiful cover.
Represents transformation,
yes. Yeah, definitely. My story, transforming the wounds of childhood abuse. And this is a powerful example, Naomi, and to all the listeners tuned in, how important it is to rise above adversity.
It is. Take control, right?
Wow. And you know, as I want to conclude here, one of the initiatives that you took, which is amazing, I applaud you for that, is you developed or designed a child abuse informational brochure. Talk to us briefly about that.
Yes, I did. Okay. The inspiration came to me at a part-time job where I was at. During the time I was writing my story, there was a situation on the island with similar details at a primary school. And I overheard one of my colleagues saying, she made a comment which didn't sit well with me at all. She made a comment and she said, "Why didn't that child tell somebody before?" That's what she said. And I stood there and I just listened to her. And she didn't know my story. And the thing is, she read my book and she bought it after it was released and was like, wow. And she, when she asked that question, I was like, wow, people really are not informed. They're not educated about sexual abuse and what goes through a child's mind when they experience such a thing. So I was like, instead of responding to her comment, which would not have been wise, because some people are just set in their opinions, I decided, you know what? There might be many others out there just like her. You know, so I thought it would be very wise to create an informational brochure on the topic, explaining the feelings of what children go through during that time, why a child might not tell an adult, what you can do to assist a child if you suspect anything. Those kind of information I included, and I also shared some further resources for further reading, further knowledge on the topic. So that's where the inspiration came to create this brochure.
Wow, and it's so very important. As I'm looking at it here in my hand, Child Abuse Informational Brochure, and created by Naomi Peer. And of course, you have your master's in development psychology, right? Was it a child? Development,
yes,
psychology.
Child and adolescence.
Right. So fitting, so perfect. And you've stated on the back of the brochure, which is so very important, the resources, reporting child abuse. Of course, you can call the KPMS, which is our police department here on St. Martin. The Court of Guardianship you have here noted, and Mental Health Foundation. And you have other resources on there. So it's so very important that you created that informational brochure, Naomi. So as we close off this powerful conversation with each other today on Love and Inspiration, with regards to your book, My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse, what are your closing words? And once again, where can persons purchase your book, Naomi?
My closing words are, you are strong, you can do it, believe in yourself, and find healing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. You've just liberated someone out there. And where can they purchase your book once again, my dear?
Once again, locally, I have books in my possession. So you can send me a WhatsApp text, 524-9181. And online, If you go to Amazon.com, type in My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse by Naomi Pear, you will find it as well.
Thank you so much, Naomi, for being on the show. And there are many listeners tuned in to you today, and you have absolutely done so much today to help persons who may have been suffering in silence, who may have been abused many years ago, and walking around with that trauma, that you've actually helped them to be liberated and to seek that help. And for those who... Yeah, go ahead, Naomi.
I want to say one more thing.
Sure.
I know sometimes people, they just don't know where to turn to. Some people, you might have friends and family, but, you know, sometimes it's just so hard to trust. If anyone want to reach out to me, you want to send me a message, anybody who's been abused, it may not be sexually, but any form of abuse, and you just need someone to talk to, please do not hesitate. You can shoot me a message.
Okay, wonderful. Can you give your message, contact details once again, please, Naomi?
WhatsApp, which I'm mostly active on, 524-9181.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Naomi, God bless you, and may you continue to transform the lives of many. And God has put you in the right place as an educator to really be there for our children, to be an advocate, and for those who may have experienced something alike that you've been through in an early part of their years, their childhood years. So thank you for being on Love and Inspiration. Naomi, God bless you. And once again, this is a powerful book, My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard from Naomi Pear, the author of the book called My Story, Transforming the Wounds of Childhood Abuse, here on Love and Inspiration. Two powerful interviews today. First, you heard from Arjan Urkel, live from out of Rotterdam in the Netherlands, with his book called Held Hostage. That's a true story.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.